This is the Rock Your Body tutorial with my friend and colleague and fellow coach, Annette Sloan, all about tips on how to raise a confident and courageous daughter. Welcome to the tutorial, Annette.
Thank you, Summer. It's great to be here.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you here because I think that in this program, you know, as we start to close it out, we want to think about, you know, how we can spread this, like spread all this knowledge that we have and help other people in our lives. And especially for the women who have children, like how to pass that along to their children and especially their daughters. So I'm really honored to have you here today. And we'll dive right into it.
Sounds good.
So I'd love to for you to talk about the role of the mother-daughter relationship in how a girl feels about her body. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So I work with teen girls, or that's part of the people that I work with, and I have seen over and over again how the mother-daughter relationship is probably the biggest factor in how a girl views her own body. And it's not only today, you know, what she thinks about her body today, but down the line as she grows up and becomes a woman herself. And the thing is that whether moms realize it or not, the daughters are learning more about how they should feel in their bodies based less on what their moms tell them. So a mom could always be telling her daughter, you're beautiful, your body's perfect, you don't need to change. But if the daughter's observing mom saying critical things about her own body, then that is what's really going to end up being imprinted on the daughter, even if she never hears her mom say anything like that about her body, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in my own experience, like, you know, my mom would always be criticizing her body, but then she would say to me, like, you're so beautiful and, you know, stuff like that. So that, I believe that's exactly what you're saying there.
Right. I talked to a woman one day who told me about when she was growing up, her mom used to always never said anything disparaging about her daughter's bodies. But anytime they would go anywhere, her mom would be looking at the other women in the restaurant or the store or wherever and would ask her kids, do you think she weighs more than me or less than me? Is she bigger than me or smaller than me? And the kids would answer, you know, as honestly as they thought. But what a thing to be imprinting on your daughters. And this woman's now a grown adult woman in her 30s, and she confessed to me that she does the same thing. She walks into places and she compares other women's bodies and thinks, I wonder if she weighs more than me or less than me. And, you know, it's constantly carrying that around, even though she doesn't want to be, but it's something she took from her mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I know you have some really good tips on what moms can do to raise a daughter who loves herself and feel confident in her body. So let's dive into that. What advice do you have for moms?
Absolutely. So my tips tend to fit into three different categories. First, there are those that are directly related to body image and our words and actions around that. And then there are tips around what girls need to know about the media and the beauty industry. And then finally, there's tips that go deeper and relate to how a girl feels about herself in general, which of course will impact the way she views herself and, you know, her body.
Awesome. So let's start with that first one, the tips that are related to body image and our words. What do you suggest in that realm?
I have a whole bunch of suggestions in that realm. The first one starts with sort of the same thing we've been saying, that moms should be careful and try to be cognizant and do their best to not say disparaging or cruel things about their own bodies or about anyone else's. And I have another example here of a mom-daughter pair that I coached together. The daughter was 20 years old, mom was in her 40s, and they had the same type of body, you know, same kind of build. And daughter had never heard mom say anything disparaging about her body, but she would constantly, you know, heard her mom talk meanly about her own body. And she's like, well, our bodies are the same. We have the same body type. And she really internalized that as criticism of her body as well. And that is something that had been going on since she was a little girl. And it wasn't uncovered, you know, till years later in our coaching. And the girls, you know, they notice. Also, I talked to a client yesterday who told me about how her mom, no matter who she sees, the first thing she thinks of is, she looks good, she's lost weight, or she's gained weight, she's not so good. And there's always just, you know, some kind of comment about weight that she saw her mom make those comments throughout her childhood. And that just internalizes the idea that, you know, okay, so that's what we do. We comment on other women's bodies, and we're constantly noticing, observing how they look and how it compares to my body and all that stuff. Moms, I highly recommend, I know this is, you know, work you're doing on yourself, but as you've gotten to this point in Summer's program and you're feeling more confident in your body, please really be careful about what you're saying, because your daughters are internalizing that. And in the same realm, you know, our society has this message that women's bodies are fair game to be discussed, something that drives me crazy, as I'm sure it does you, Summer. We gain weight, we lose weight, you know, we get pregnant, we have the baby weight, we lose the baby weight, or it stays on, or we go through puberty or midlife, you know, menopause, whatever. People think that it's just okay to discuss these things, but we need to put a line in the sand and say, no, like, let's not discuss these things in a judgmental or objectifying way. It's just, you know, we're not going to diminish ourselves in that way. So to set that example for your daughter is really important as well.
Yeah, it's like being really conscious of, like, you know, this, our culture tells us that, like, our bodies are who we are, you know, and so it's being really conscious about, like, how you're promoting that by like objectifying women, by commenting on their bodies, like just boiling them down to like their appearance, right? It's just, yeah, I think it's something we really, especially, you know, because sometimes we just do it in a jovial way. We're like, oh, like, look at Taylor Swift, look at her butt, you know, like that was in the media recently. And it's like, no, like we're basically objectifying her by doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know that, you know, a lot of times we don't even realize we're doing it. Like you just said, we think it's just kind of fun or whatever, but to really try to be more conscious about it and what we're actually doing. Mm-hmm. So the next tip I have is to avoid putting moral value on words like fat and thin. And this was something I've been thinking about for a while, but it really was highlighted for me pretty recently when I was at an event where there were a whole bunch of women in a room, and one woman was telling a story of a tough time in her life, and she thought she had hit rock bottom. So she went to go see a mentor for his advice and guidance, and he was trying to kind of do a tough love thing, and he told her, I can't believe you can't make it through this, you're fat and lazy, and you have nothing going for you. And first of all, some mentor, right? He wasn't really achieving this.
I hope she didn't pay for that.
I know. Oh my God. But what was interesting is he said all these terrible things, made her feel much worse. But to see the reaction in the room of when she shared those comments, it was clear to me that everybody thought that fat was the worst thing out of everything he had said. Mm. That was the worst thing that he called her. And is that really true? You know, what are we doing when we decide to give that word that much power and decide that it's the worst thing that a woman can be called? It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I really encourage you to think about, you know, taking away the moral value, looking at fat and thin as descriptive words, just like, you know, warm or soft or any other adjective, and to try to really give your daughters the message that fat is not the worst thing you could be called. It's just another adjective, because if we go around thinking that it is the worst thing that we could be called, and reacting in that way, then of course we're going to try to do everything we can to not be fat. And then a lot of times that leads to an unhealthy relationship with food and our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So my next tip has to do with, if you're comfortable doing so, I would encourage you to give girls opportunities to see real women's bodies in the nude. And I actually did this for the first time a year or two ago. I went to a bathhouse, which is, I know sounds kind of sketchy, but it's really not. They have, you know, women's days and men's days, and you go in and take off all your clothes and go into like a steam room and then a shower and a sauna and then a hot tub, and you do this rotation. And it was such a beautiful experience because everybody was just so real. You know, it's like, I think this kind of thing is more common in Europe, but in the United States, we have so much shame around the nude body, and going there really opened up a whole new world for me. And like, oh, like this kind of exposure to what real women's bodies look like you know, you could do the same thing in like the gym locker room and that kind of thing, but it's like the antidote, you know, if you expose yourself to that kind of thing regularly, then it's the antidote to all the media images of what women's bodies should look like.
Yeah.
So it creates a different sense of this is really normal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good one. And the other, like just to kind of add to that, which I hadn't really thought about until recently when I was talking to somebody else, was like the, that like our perception of what a nude body looks like is so much driven out of like pornography, because we don't see nude bodies other than in that form. And, and I think that's especially true for young girls, like with the internet and the way it is right now, like, you know, where are they seeing like nude bodies? Probably, you know, well, I mean, hopefully they're not looking at porn, but like, you know, like young people do like kind of fall upon that sometimes in the internet world. And so, yeah, sometimes I think when we think about like exposing girls to diversity, we think about it, just, you know, like it's just exposing them to diverse bodies, but it's also like the nude body, as you said. So I'm actually really, I think that's such a good tip that you brought up.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it was impactful for me, you know, and then it's, if it just becomes a regular, if imagine if a girl's mom took her to a place like the bathhouse where it's completely just, there's no shame, there's no stigma, everybody's comfortable in their bodies. And she went there, you know, every few months from like the time she was 6 or 7 years old growing up. Like, what would that do for the way that she looked at women's bodies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
So, yeah. And then my last tip in this realm is to not shy away from talking about sexuality. To teach girls the correct names for their body parts, you know, don't be shy about saying words like vagina when it comes up, and really trying to talk as comfortably as you can around sex and puberty, and to remove the stigma and secrecy and shame around it. Because, you know, if a girl can't be comfortable talking about her body, then how can we expect her to be comfortable in her body? Mm. And when I grew up in a household where we didn't really talk openly about sexuality or about the sexual parts of the body. And I was, you know, mortified to say the word vagina or penis for a long time. And then finally I was in college. I went to go see the vagina monologues. And then I just heard the word vagina so much that I was like, okay, like I can say this word now.
Yeah. That's such a good point. I never really even thought about that, but that is so true. If you can't be comfortable talking about the body, like, how can you be comfortable in your body? Yeah, that's good. Good one.
Thank you.
Yeah. So do you have any more tips in that category? Do you want to move on to the next one?
No, that's it.
Okay, cool. So yeah, so let's talk about the second area, which you mentioned was like around the media and the beauty industry. Tell us more about that.
Absolutely. So my first point here is to teach your girls and your boys, teach your kids media literacy, and to really view what they see in the media with discerning eyes. And of course, this is things like the photo editing that happens, but also the way that women and girls are portrayed versus the way that men and boys are portrayed. You know, initiate conversations about these topics often, and starting when girls are young, and point out like, look at the way that girls is portrayed in that ad. Would we ever see a boy or a man portrayed that way? And, you know, just really get them to notice and think about these things so they don't just take what they see for granted as normal, or what society actually is, or is what would be healthy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second tip in this realm is to clue them into the way that the beauty industry works. So I have a friend that lives in LA, and she used to work in the movie industry and in the beauty, you know, she did consulting for all these different beauty places. And anyway, she has literally sat around and been in meetings where they actually have the conversation about, how can I make a woman feel bad about herself so that she will buy our product to fix her?
Yeah, that's
and,
crazy.
I mean, it just, I know, it blows the mind, but that's what happens. So to really, you know, make girls aware of this, and my friend actually has preliminary plans and a dream to make a documentary about, you know, really exposing that industry, and that's how it works. But, you know, if we can be smart and just know that that's what's happening now, and really engage this, engage our daughters in conversation around this from a young age, point it out every time we see it, invite her to look for examples, commercials on TV or whatever, where this is happening. So again, it's just creating that level of awareness that is discerning and not just taking everything at face value.
That's awesome. And I'm wondering, actually, just, you know, if a woman has boys instead of girls, you know, do you suggest doing the same thing, like with talking to our sons about this type of stuff as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the boys have their own images or messages that they're getting from the media, and not so much the beauty industry, but the fitness industry or whatever. You know, boys think that they have to be really big and have a six pack and they have to be strong. They can never show their feelings. All those kinds of messages are also damaging to boys. So I would encourage moms to also raise boys, having conversations about how men are portrayed in the media, and is that, you know, does that feel true to you? Or if you see a man, examples of men that are, must always be strong, must never be vulnerable, feel your feelings, that kind of thing, must have this type of body type, do the same thing, challenge it and have conversations around it, invite them to look for examples of those, of how prevalent that is in the media, and to consider, is that what you think a man should be? This is what I think a man should be, you know, just to have those conversations in the family often, and when the kids are starting, when the kids are young.
Great. That's so good. And so, what are some suggestions you have that go deeper and relate to how a girl feels about herself in general? What are your suggestions there?
So I have a few here. The first one is to teach girls to have compassion for others always. To keep in mind that every act, everything that somebody does is either an expression of love or a cry for love. Mm-hmm. And our society, I think, is pretty good at compassion in terms of, yeah, I can feel compassion for the poor and the sick and the downtrodden, but we have a much harder time having compassion for, you know, your alcoholic uncle or the school bully or people like that. But if kids can see their parents modeling compassion for everyone, even the people who it's really difficult to feel compassion for, they learn that even the shadow sides of themselves are worthy, because we all have parts of ourselves that, you know, we might not like as much or that come up when we're not feeling good. But if we can learn that those parts of ourselves are okay as well, then it creates a really strong sense of self-worth. And it's much better than the belief that certain parts of ourselves are shameful.
That's so good.
Thanks. Yeah. And then the next one is to teach kids to view their inner critic as separate from themselves. So we all know there's a voice in our heads that can be very mean to us. And I encourage moms to talk to their kids about how that is not them. It's kind of like when you practice yoga and you say, namaste, the light in me sees and honors the light in you. The light is who we really are. The inner critic is this separate entity that stems from our ego. And it's not bad. It's always trying to keep us safe in a way. It uses weird methods to do that. But I encourage moms to look at, you know, teaching kids to really engage with that voice, maybe name it. I have a client that calls her inner critic, her Jiminy critic. I think it's cute.
That's good.
And then to, you know, interact with it calmly and without resistance. It's not something you need to fight with, but if you can just sort of look at it when it comes up and say, okay, I see you, I hear you, I don't need you right now, you can go along your way, and you're not me, you're separate from me.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool, because we do a ton of work on the inner critic, which, you know, like I call it the doppelganger in the program, and but I would never think to, like, teach a child to use that in the same way, but it makes perfect sense, you know, like, why not teach them those tools now instead of 30 years later when they're struggling with that voice of self-doubt. So that's awesome. I'm so happy you mentioned that.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing, you know, we'll get back to all the great things that you're doing by getting these moms in this great place for their kids as well. Mm-hmm. But okay, so my next tip is to teach kids to value courage and effort over their accomplishments, because our society tends to say, congratulations, you got the school play. Congratulations, you made the team. You got an A on the test. But really, that teaches us to be proud of ourselves when we get that outer approval. And if we can teach our kids, if we can flip that on its head and say, congratulations, I'm so proud of you for working so hard because you want the role in the school play. And right now you don't know if you're going to get it or not, but you are taking, you're being courageous. You're putting yourself out there. You're working hard. I see you studying hard for this test. I see you training hard for your sports tryout. That's, you know, if we can just celebrate the courage and the effort, then that really develops their kids, their resilience muscle, a strong sense of self-worth, and it makes them know that they're okay even when they don't get what they want because they're valuing then, like, I tried. That's the important part. I tried.
That's awesome.
Thanks. And then the last one is to always give them the message that they are worthy exactly as they are. So I gave a talk at a school to a parent group at a school a few months ago. And this was a very high-achieving 6-12 school. Kids have to be accepted to go there, and they're all very talented. And the parents, you know, didn't realize it until they brought it up. But some of them were, when we started to talk about it, they're like, I think I'm sending the message in some way that, you know, my kids are more worthy when they get the grades or they get the role in the play or the, you know, the sports team or whatever. And I would encourage parents to really think about that and make sure that their kids know they don't have to earn their love. They are worthy exactly as they are, that you love them exactly as they are, regardless of outside accomplishments, appearance, grades, popularity, any of it. Really instill them with that strong sense of self-worth.
So good. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's such a pleasure to chat with you about this.
Yeah, and so I understand that you have a quote you wanted to share with the women.
Absolutely. Do you use Brené Brown in your program?
Yes. There's like the essence of her throughout, but yeah, there's a couple of points where I believe I've quoted her for sure.
Awesome. So women listening have probably, you know of her work. She's an expert on vulnerability and shame, and she's written a lot of best-selling books. She's amazing. And one of her quotes from the book Daring Greatly really speaks to me in this realm, and it is, the question isn't so much, are you parenting the right way, as it is, are you the adult that you want your child to grow up to be? Beautiful. So what I really encourage the moms to do, is, above everything else, like, congratulations on, you know, investing in yourself and doing Summer's program, because you are, you know, if you're not happy with the way you've been engaging with your body and you wanted to really experience that self-love, you're doing the work. So your kids are seeing that and you're setting that example for them, which is absolutely the best thing you could be doing. So be proud of yourself. That's really amazing.
And I know what I think is so cool about everything that you shared here today is that I think this is stuff that we can just share with anybody in our life, you know, whether it's like a friend or like, you know, I don't have kids, but I have niece and nephews. And so I think that, you know, even though some of the women don't have children, we can still use so many of the things that you talked about to influence other people in our lives and to create a bigger change. Because I think ultimately, you know, like the women doing this program, they get to a point where they're just like, oh my God, like the culture that we live in is so problematic, you know, from my own experience. Like you start to be able to see the issue with like these messages that we're receiving in our culture. And I know, like, for me, that really lights a fire inside of me to want to create change throughout. And so I think in order to do that, like, these are some really helpful ways to also pass that along just to other people, to have further education and activism just within our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. This is stuff, it's more than just for moms.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much, Annette. It was amazing having you here. Do you have any final words that you want to say to the women?
I would, let's see, the women in your program, just rock on. You're doing the work. Congratulations.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Annette. Oh, where can people find more of you? I almost forgot.
Oh, yeah. So my website is AnnetteSloan.com. And there's tons of great info there about the work I do with women and teen girls, similar to Summer's work, helping them to, you know, end the battle with food and feel confident and courageous in their lives.
Great. Thank you so much, Annette. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Summer. I really enjoyed it.
Rock on.